Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have another healing miracle of Jesus before us in today's gospel. And before we discuss this particular healing miracle, it would be good for us to review the two basic truths that the Holy Spirit wants us to see and believe in every healing miracle that Jesus did, no matter what part of the body he was healing. First, the sickness of all sinners and the compassion of Jesus for all, who by the power of his word gives immediate healing to all who come to him for healing. Now that he has died and risen and ascended to the right hand of God, the healing that God has directed us to in this sin-filled world is the healing that Jesus gives in the forgiveness of sins. The immediate and complete forgiveness of sins pronounced upon you in your baptism and in preaching and in the sacrament of the altar. Here, Jesus heals you really and truly and allows you to stand before God righteous. The second truth that is in every healing miracle is that other healing that's just as real as the physical healing that Jesus gave to all those people way back when. The healing of our bodies, of all our ailments, when Jesus returns as he promises. That he'll heal ears and tongues and eyes and backs and knees and feet and arthritic hands and even the greatest affliction of all, death itself. That healing is there in the background in every one of these healing miracles that Jesus did. The one healing, the spiritual kind, the forgiveness kind, is yours now and over again, because you need it often. The other one waits for the appointed time. So let every healing miracle of Jesus remind you of those two things and always send you back to Christ for the healing that you need as a sinner. But in this particular gospel of this healing, of this deaf man and this man who had a speech impediment, the Holy Spirit teaches us some specific things. First, we see the faith and the love of the friends of the deaf man who brought him to Jesus to be healed. They had already heard the report, the good news of this Jesus who heals all who come to him for healing. They had heard this good report of his compassion and his kindness to all. That brought them to faith already. Whatever good report they heard from whomever they heard it about Jesus, that brought them to faith in Jesus, that he does heal those who look to him. So they brought their friend. They had been brought to faith by hearing the good report about Jesus, but their friend couldn't hear. He was deaf. And so they showed love to their friend who couldn't hear, whose ears were stopped up physically, and took him to the one who could help. They didn't try to help him. They didn't try to heal him. Obviously, they couldn't. No one could, only Jesus. See the love they showed. Let's make an application there right away. You have heard the good word about Jesus. You trust in him as the healer of sin-sick souls, don't you? You know that he heals all who come to him for healing. Maybe you have a friend or a loved one who is deaf to the gospel and unable to speak, to confess a faith in Jesus with their lips, as Paul talked about in the epistle. Would you throw up your hands and say, well, so and so, they're a lost cause. They would never listen. They would never come. They would never confess the same faith that I confess? Really? Is it useless? Is it hopeless? Not where Jesus is. Not where his word is spoken. Deaf ears open when the Son of God speaks to them. Your unbelieving friend needs your friendship, your love, your assistance, your invitation to come to hear, even if they can't hear yet. To talk with your pastor, to come to a Bible class with you, to find healing with Jesus, the healer. Next in our gospel, we see the friends of the deaf man bringing their friend to Jesus, and all they ask of Jesus is to lay his hand on the man. Jesus does much more. He could have laid his hand on the man and been done with it. He could have just spoken a word, but he didn't. I suppose he could have healed the man by his divine power without speaking a word, but there's a good reason he chose not to do that too. He performed a series of actions that spoke just as loudly as any words would, especially to a deaf man who's used to perceiving the world through sight rather than through his hearing. First, he took the man aside, dealt with him all by himself away from the crowd. Jesus wanted it to be perfectly clear to this man, you are the sick one, you are the one who needs my help, and I know it, and I am willing to help you as if you were the only man on earth. You and I, focus on me. Then he put his fingers in the man's ears. How many of you would do that? Your help comes not from inside of you, not from your works or things that you might do. Your help comes from outside of you, from me, from my Holy Spirit, whom I put into you. Then he spit. Healing comes from my mouth alone, from my word, from my saliva, from my incarnate body, from my body that is given for you, from my blood that is shed for you. He touched the man's tongue. When my body touches your tongue, you are healed. He looked up to heaven. God the Father has sent me to be your healer. He sighed. Sin has done such terrible things to the people of this earth, to the whole human race, all the affliction and pain and sickness and infirmity and sorrow. But, Ephphatha, be opened. The word of the Son of God is more powerful than all the pain and destruction that sin can possibly bring. The power to heal, the power for the deaf to hear, the power for the unbeliever to believe comes not from the deaf man, comes not from the unbeliever, it comes from without. It comes from the power of Jesus' word. He speaks to deaf ears, which seems foolish. Why would you speak to ears that you know can't hear? And yet that's how God does it every time. He speaks to deaf ears, and his speaking allows them to be opened. What a comforting gospel for all who mourn because of their sins and sin's consequences in our lives. For all who recognize how deaf we are by nature, how speech impaired we are to confess the true faith about Jesus and to sing the praises of God's grace. Jesus has taken each one of you sin-sick people aside and one by one has applied that holy spit. Sorry, but it's the word our text uses. That holy spit of holy baptism Each one of you, individually, that's Jesus doing that, bringing healing to you one by one, not a mass baptism, one by one, healing the sin that makes you guilty and now allows you to stand righteous before God. He has taken each one of you and put his spirit into your ears through the preaching of his word, has put his own body on your tongues in the sacrament of the altar. He's opened the ears of your heart to hear his word and believe in him, and has opened or loosed your tongue to confess the faith. And it's with the heart, Paul says in the epistle, that man believes and is justified. And it's with the mouth that one confesses and is saved. Why do we bother with that Nicene Creed? You know all that, right? It's your confession, isn't it? We might as well confess it. It's the whole foundation of our Christian faith. Now, the gospel account in Mark chapter 7 ends in a very mixed way with all these good and bad things going on at the same time. Jesus healed the deaf man's ears and loosed his tongue, and then ordered the crowds not to talk about it. He spoke to their ears and told them, "Don't use your tongues to tell this miracle, to tell about this healing." He had his reasons. He's the Son of God. And then you have the people who had healthy ears and healthy tongues doing the very unhealthy thing of disobeying a direct order from the Son of God. Now, surely they had the best of intentions. They're amazed by Jesus, this healer. They want people to know about this miracle. They want people to hear the gospel. But the end does not justify the means. It was sinful and wicked and wrong for them to hear the words of the Son of God and do the opposite. The end doesn't justify the means. He had his reasons for what he commanded them. Could God have gotten out the word about his Son in a God-pleasing way? Of course he could. And yet even in spite of the wickedness of those people who did that, God worked to spread the news of his Son, and he worked good from that to the point that we're hearing about it still today. God took their disobedience and wickedness and worked it for good, as he always does. We can apply this part of the gospel in any number of ways, but for now, consider just this application. People in your life who don't know the gospel, or who do, you have good intentions for them. You want people to know the word of God. You want people to know Jesus. You want people to come to be part of the church, to leave Satan's kingdom and come into God's kingdom, to join our church and to stay members of our church. Of course you want that. It's a wonderful goal, a wonderful God-pleasing end to have in mind. It doesn't justify any and every means you might use to bring people to church or to keep them here. It doesn't justify sinful behavior, even if you might have the goal of saving someone's soul through your sinful behavior. For example, Jesus does not authorize any and every activity under the sun to bring people into the church. He doesn't authorize activities that give people a wrong impression of what sinners they are, or who Jesus is, or what the church is about, or what it means to be a Christian. He calls us to be honest with our neighbors, to tell the truth about their sin and Jesus' healing and his promise to heal all who look to him. Or Jesus comes along and charges you not to tell your friend or loved one who has stopped coming to church, or who is living together outside of marriage, or who is living in adultery, that everything's okay, or that you're doing just fine. He charges you not to say things like that. He charges you and me and all of us here to speak to them and even rebuke them, even though you think in your mind that's not going to bring them closer to the gospel. They're not going to take that too kindly. They're not going to hear it very well. Oh, deaf ears are opened, as always, when Jesus speaks his word to them, not with our intentions or the things that we think would do it or might do it. Jesus' word is powerful to take deaf ears and open them up. He doesn't need us to disobey him in order to do that. And if you have disobeyed him in the past, all is not lost. Here you are again today. Here is forgiveness for you, for your disobedience. Come, receive it. Here it is. And also remember the reassurance that God gives, that he gets his work done, the good work he wants to do, sometimes through our obedience, most of the time in spite of our disobedience. The word of Jesus opens deaf ears. May your hearts take courage today in that message. May your ears be opened by his word. May your tongues be loosed to confess his praises, the praises of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In his name, amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.